So it was brought to my attention last Sunday concerning something that I had taught that it wasn't accurate. And so I'm glad for the education and the correction that I got afterwards. And so I looked into what I had not taught correctly, and I did a deep dive into it. And so this morning we're going to look at that, and I think y'all will really like what is going to be presented. To God be the glory. And so with that being said, could y'all please turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. And so this is where it'll begin. This is where it'll begin. In Genesis chapter 15. Now this is whenever God had spoke with Abram before he was named Abraham. And so this is when God is going to make a covenant with Abram. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, and let's start at verse 1 so that we can get this context. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, the Word of God reads, "After these things, the Word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.'" That was a prophecy right there, which we know would be fulfilled in Isaac. Verse 5, "Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it.' And he said, 'Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?'" Verse 9, "Then he said to him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him." Now right here in verses 13 and 14 is where we're going to get this lesson from. Verse 13, "Then he said to Abram," and this is going to be a prophecy, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions." And so right here, this is a prophecy concerning the children of Israel. And so this whole time, I thought that the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt for 430 years. Because that's what it seems like the text says on surface level. However, whenever you look more into it, you'll find out something different. And so I'm glad for this correction. And so from here, I want y'all to please turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we're going to read verses 40 and 41. And so when someone gets there, could y'all please read those verses for us? Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41.
"Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt."
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Scott. And so right here, I'm going to put the different texts that we're going to be looking at, which make up or comprise this lesson. And so we read right there about how they were going to be in Egypt, it says, for 430 years. Now, I've got a Bible that gives me a little bit more insight on some things. And so right here, when we go to Exodus 12, verse 40, now it says the sojourn. Y'all see that word right there? Literally, it means the length of stay. The length of stay of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt. Now, right here, next to this word Egypt, the Bible that I got, it has a one. Some of y'all's Bibles might have that on certain words where y'all will look down at the bottom or maybe in like a center column, and it'll give you some more insight as to what that word means. Now, right here, when it says Egypt, whenever I look down right here, it says Egypt and Canaan. Egypt and Canaan is actually what that is right there in the Septuagint. And so I want us to go from here to Galatians chapter 3. Now, this is going to be another text that'll really help us understand this promise. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. As you can see, we're going to go to verse 16. Now, if somebody could please read verses 16 and 17 for us, that would be greatly appreciated. Now, verse 7.
For all that came 430 years ago does not cancel the covenant previously ratified by God so as to invalidate the promise.
Thank you for reading that, sir, Mr. Hagler. Now, right here in verse 17, it says, "And this I say, that the law," that is the law of Moses, "which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect." Now, this promise that is mentioned here is actually the promise that God gave to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And so from right here, from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to when the law was given, that's 430 years according to the account, according to the text. And so we're going to look at that and we're going to fill in this timeline, okay? And so with that being said, can y'all please turn with me to Genesis chapter 12? Actually, we're going to go to the end of Genesis chapter 11. The end of Genesis chapter 11. Now we're going to go to Genesis 11 starting at verse 31. Starting at verse 31. And we're going to fill in some timeline, okay? And so, with that being done, okay, so Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 31. "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." And so we learn that the Lord is about to call Abram, and he's about to give him this promise here. And so notice that they're in the land of Haran. And if we had a map, that would be about the north of ancient Palestine. Okay, so right now they're around the promised land, the land of Canaan, that is. Now chapter 12, could someone read verses 1 through 3 for us, please?
"Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed."
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Braswell. And so with that being said, we learn right here in Genesis chapter 12 is when the promise is given to Abram. Okay? Now, I have a 100-year mark from the promise given all the way over here. And we're going to learn why I put that. Could y'all please turn with me to Genesis chapter 21 at verse 5. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Now, could someone please read that for us when you get there? I want us to learn about this timeline real quick.
Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Cochran. Now, I'm going to read it one more time because I can still hear at least one page turning. Now, Genesis chapter 21, verse 5 says, "Now Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh.'" Sorry, I kept reading after verse 5. And so I want us to learn that there is about a 100-year mark. And then we have Isaac born. Okay, so Isaac would be born about right here. And then we're going to read another passage real quick. Could you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 25, verse 26 this time. Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. Now, when someone gets there, can y'all please read that? Genesis 25, verse 26.
"Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them."
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Areola. And so right here, we learn about the birth of Esau and Jacob by their mother, Rebekah. And it says right here, I'm going to read it again. It says, Afterward, his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Now, this is what I want us to focus on this last part of the verse. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. And so now we've got another timeline, okay? We've got 60 years right here. And so we have 100 years is when Isaac is born right here. And then we have another 60 years to when Jacob is born right here. And so this is going to make up that 430 years that we read about over there in Galatians chapter 3. And so with that being said, could y'all please turn with me to Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 12 again. Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 5. And I'm actually going to erase this real quick. I'll put this right here. 100 years. And according to the text, Abram was 75 years old when this promise was given to him. And so let's go over here to Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. The record states, "Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Aaron, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land." And so we learn about how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 sons, they all lived in Canaan or either Egypt for those 430 years that are mentioned. And so with that being said, I want to make a little line right here and then draw Abram. So Abram, he lived in Egypt. Remember when they went down to Egypt and I think it was Abimelech who had taken Abram's wife over there in Egypt. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong right there. And then they sojourned also in the land of Canaan, in the land of Canaan. And then we also learn about how Isaac, he had lived in the land of Canaan as well. And also remember that Jacob, he went to the land of Padan Aram, And that's where he had his sons, all of them except for Benjamin. Because Benjamin, he would then go on to have in the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so they lived in Paddan Aram, which is part of the land of Canaan as well. It's north of it. And then they also dwelt in the land of Canaan as well. And so with that being said, could y'all please go with me to Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And so we're going to learn about Jacob real quick. We're going to learn about where he was living at this time. Could someone please turn with me to Genesis, or could someone please read Genesis 28, verse 10?
Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran.
Okay, thank you for that. So now we learn about the location of Jacob at this time. He was going to Haran, which is toward the south of ancient Palestine. And so now he is over there still in the land of Canaan. And now we've got Abram, then we've got Isaac, we've got Jacob, then we've got the 12 sons. And I'm going to give y'all a timeline of how long it took for those 12 sons to be born. Could y'all please turn with me to, let's see, let me find this place real quick. Let me see. Okay, to Genesis 26, verse 34 this time. Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. And could someone please read that for us? Genesis 26, verse 34.
When Esau was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite.
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Hedick. And so, right here, we learn that Esau was 40 years old. Now, I'm going to equate this to Jacob's age, since they were both twins. So they were, you know, around the same age. And so, we learn that Esau was 40 years old right here. So, I'm going to say Jacob was 40 years old as well. Then we get to chapter 27. And this is whenever Isaac blesses Jacob. And then Jacob is then sent to Paddan Aram to go take a wife of Bethuel, which was his mother's brother. Now, how many years did Jacob spend in Paddan Aram working for Laban? 14 years. That's exactly right. So who was the first wife that he actually worked for?
Leah.
Then who was the other wife that he worked for?
Rachel.
So that was 7 and 7. That's 14. However, the text states that he also stayed an extra 7 years. So that's 21 years. And so that's why I'm putting 61 plus years right there. Okay. And then you have the 12 tribes. Okay. The 12 tribes. And so these were all born in Paddan Aram as well. And then they start to dwell in the land of Canaan too. And so we see this. This makes sense of why it would say that the sojourn of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, or rather the land of Egypt and Canaan, was 430 years. We see that Abram dwelt in Egypt and Canaan. Isaac dwelt in Canaan. Jacob dwelt in Paddan Aram in Canaan. And he also had his sons in Paddan Aram. And then they went to Canaan. Okay, now going on from here, could y'all please turn with me to Genesis 37, verse 17 this time. Genesis 37, verse 17. And so here we're going to learn about Joseph. Now in Genesis 37 verse 17, it says, and the man said, and this is whenever Joseph is looking for his brethren, it says, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And so Dothan is in the land of Canaan as well. Then let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And this is when we're surveying the life of Joseph. And well, Genesis 39, verse 1 states clearly, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. So there Joseph is. He's dwelling in the land of, Canaan and the land of Egypt. Now, I want us to get another timeline. Could y'all please turn with me to Genesis chapter 50? Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. And could someone please read that for us? Thank you for reading that. Thank you for reading that, Mr. Pridemore. And so we learned that that Joseph lived how many years and then he died? That's exactly right. He lived 110. And so now we have some more of this timeline formulating. We've got 75 years, then another, 75, then 100 years. Then we've got another 60 years, another 61, another 110. Then, could y'all please turn with me to Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. And this is a very familiar verse. Once you read it, then you'll see why. Now, could someone read that for us, please? Exodus 1, verse 8. Thank you for reading that, Mr. Scott. And so, right here, I'm not exactly too sure how long this time period is from when Joseph died to when this new king rose up. However, I know that this makes up that 430 years that was mentioned. And I don't want to do any speculations, okay? And so that was Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. And so that one I'm not too sure about. Okay, now, for this next part, could y'all please turn with me to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Now we're going to notice the threefold life, or the three-part life of Moses. We're going to start at Acts 7, verse 17. Acts 7, verse 17. And could someone please read verses 17 through 22?
But as the time drew near for God to fulfill the promise he had declared to Abraham, the people increased greatly in number in Egypt, until another king who did not know about Joseph ruled over Egypt. This was the one who exploited our people and was cruel to our ancestors, forcing them to abandon their infants so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful to God. For 3 months, he was brought up in his father's house, and when he had been abandoned, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. So Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in his words and deeds.
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Hagler. And so we learn right here about the first 40 years of Moses' life. He was brought up as Pharaoh's daughter. Now we're going to get to verse 23 through verse 29. So right here, the Word of God reads, "Now when he, that is Moses, was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting, and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another?' But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons." Now we're going to get to verse 30. Now verse 30 is going to be when Moses is 80 years old. Because it says, and when 40 years had passed, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now I will send you to Egypt. And it says, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. And so we learn about the first 40 years of Moses' life. He was brought up where? That's exactly right. Now the next 40 years, where did he spend his life? In Midian as a humble shepherd. And it's something because he was getting trained up by those, he was training himself up, little did he know, with that physical flock of sheep. And then he would actually go on to be the shepherd, or a shepherd of Israel, and he would shepherd God's people. Then, okay, so the first 40 years, he grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. The next 40 years, he dwelt in the land of Midian. And then what does verse 36 say that he did for the last 40 years of his life? That's exactly right. They were in the wilderness wanderings for 40 years. And so those are the three parts that make up Moses' life. Because as the record states, he lived 100 and how many years? 120 years. That's exactly right. And so I probably didn't do the best job that I could have on this timeline. And so we learned that the promise was given when Abram was 75 years old. Then about 25 years later is when Isaac came on the scene. And then we keep going and we learn about Jacob and the 12 tribes. And then Joseph died. Then right here, when this new king starts, that's when they start being oppressed, when they start being afflicted by the Egyptians. And so that's when the real bondage starts right there. However, we learn, well, Abram, he went to Egypt. And if I'm not mistaken, they had taken his wife. So right there, we learned about how Abram had some dealings with the Egyptians. Then we also learn about, well, whenever Jacob and his sons were dwelling in Canaan, that, well, Shechem's son had defiled, well, Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And so we learn about how they were actually going through some different trials, of course, as they were serving their course here. And so we learn right here from the new king, the new Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, till the law given. Now that is when some bondage starts over there in Egypt. Now when was the law given? When was the law of Moses given? In what chapter of Exodus? That's exactly right. Exodus chapter 20. And so right there, from when Moses was born to Exodus chapter 20, we learned that that's a span of 80 years, because whenever he was 80 years old, well, that's whenever he went to Mount Sinai, because the first 40 years he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. Then whenever he was 80, that's whenever he had went and he had brought the people out of Egypt, And so this is what makes up that 430 years. And so I know it looks like a mess. Please have mercy upon me. And so with that being said, is there any comments, any questions? Did I say something wrong? Please let me know. Okay. All right. Now, I want us to look at something else that I had noticed that a brother had shown to me, and I thought I'd share it with y'all. Could y'all turn with me to Exodus chapter 1? I think y'all still might be there. So in Exodus chapter 1, I want us to learn something. So in Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 9, because we read verse 8, the word of God says, "And he said to his people," and this is Pharaoh, it says, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses." Now, what does verse 12 say? If someone could read that for us. Verse 12.
"But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel."
Thank you for reading that, Mr. Braswell. Now, I want to read it again for emphasis. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew." Does that sound like a promise actually being fulfilled? Could y'all turn with me to Genesis chapter 13, please? Genesis chapter 13, verse 16. Genesis chapter 13, we'll start at verse 14, rather. So Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. Now, remember that over there in Exodus chapter 1, the more that the children of Israel were getting afflicted, the more they were growing. Now, let's see if that wasn't prophesied. Verse 14, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." We know that dust, I mean, it's everywhere. We learned that the children of Israel, they were increasing, well, everywhere over there in the land of Goshen, they were multiplying, they were being fruitful. Now let's get to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Now, this is another promise that God made with Abram. Genesis
15 said, "Look now to the heavens, count the stars if they are able to number them." And he said to him,
"Bless you.
So shall be your descendants."
Right there, there's another promise. He said, "Count the stars if you are able to number them." And we know that the stars, there's so many of them. Like the children of Israel at that time in Egypt, there were so many of them. We learned that how many left Egypt? Well, in counting men and not counting women, there was 600,000. And so imagine how many women as well and children. So many. So many. Then let's go to Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verses 17 and 18. And if someone could please read those verses for us. And this is another promise.
"Then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast..."
Thank you for reading that, Daniel. And so we learn right here another promise that they were going to multiply, that they were going to be as the stars of heaven. Then let's go to Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. And could someone please read those two verses for us? Genesis 26, verses 3 and 4.
"Dwell in this land, and I will be with
Thank you, Mr. Hollyfield. And so right there, we learn about it time and time again that they were going to multiply, that they were going to be as the stars of heaven, as the dust of the earth. And so with that being said, could y'all please turn with me back to Exodus chapter 1. And I want us to notice something else. Exodus chapter 1. And let's read verse 12 again with those verses in mind that we've read. And since that was a refresher. It says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That was already prophesied about. That was already promised before. Now it says in verse 13, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Now we learn after this that the Pharaoh had commanded all the male children to be killed. What if that would have actually been fulfilled? What if all the male children would have been killed? Could you say that louder? That's exactly right, Mrs. Williamson. We'd be dead in our sins. Simply put it, because the Christ wouldn't have come, we wouldn't have even been here if they would have killed all those male children, because then the seed, like Tony said, it wouldn't have come. And so thanks be to God that he made these provisions that the children of Israel could actually multiply and then the seed come forth. Any comments? Any questions? Let me check the time. Okay. And so with that being said, there you have it. You have a Galatians chapter 3, 16 and 17. That's in like a little timeline period. All the way from the promise given in Genesis 12. Then you got 430 years. Then you've got when the law was given there on Mount Sinai. If I'm not mistaken, in Exodus chapter 20, or was it Mount Horeb? And so with that being said, that's all I got for right now. To God be the glory. Okay, thank you for y'all's time and for y'all's patience.